B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub. Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, what do we have here on a Tuesday? It feels like morning to me, Ted Johnson. Adam Jones alongside the three-time Super Bowl champion, former Patriots linebacker, in for Beadle and Zoe today. Feels like morning to me. 10 o'clock, is that morning for people, or is this like early afternoon? What is this?
This is morning, I think, for most people, yes. I mean, but you're
still drinking I see you drinking a coffee over there. Yeah. It's like, this is morning, right? People are getting into their days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, 10 o'clock is, I would say, still morning, yes. I mean, look, it's, I mean, you get up early, you said you're an early riser, so maybe it's not.
Well, not by choice.
For you, but this is I think morning for most people. Yes, and good for you. I gotta be honest. I mean, you do a 5-hour show and then a quick turnaround here doing midday. So good for you, man.
What you're trying to say is not all heroes wear capes, which I didn't really want to take too much credit for the quick turnaround today. But it is a bit of an Iron Man streak I have going.
No doubt.
Being here at 10 a.m. today. So we've taken all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. I think we have a lot to get to, Ted.
Yep.
News on the Red Sox, Nathan Eovaldi, now the closer. We have some news, or lack thereof, on the Bruins. When they're going to decide to do anything, we'll get to that as well. But let's follow up on the Celtics. NBA free agency has been hot. Pretty much everyone's been signed. Major names, that is, have been signed at this point in time outside of Kawhi Leonard. Celtics were right at the heart of it. Kemba Walker's here to a much lesser degree. Enes Kanter is here. Guys like Al Horford and Kyrie Irving are gone, in some cases long gone. Kyrie basically knew all year, according to some of the reporting, New York Times and others, that he was going to leave a long, long time ago. So we can circle back to all of it, and I'm curious some of your thoughts on where the Celtics stack up in the Eastern Conference and what they've done. But the big thing that I want to know now at this point in time is, are they done making moves? You know, the roster just doesn't seem finished. I think to anyone who's looking at this team, the roster doesn't seem finished. And I think they can be competitive as is, certainly a playoff team, maybe hosting a round, maybe a winning a round like they did last year. But I have a hard time believing, with the roster imbalance that they have and just the lack of overall depth that they have, Danny Ainge is done making moves. And I don't mean veteran minimum type moves. I mean,
big fish, though.
Yeah, I wonder if Danny Ainge has another move up his sleeve, one that would especially impact the front court. Because, look, Kemba Walker's a good player at point. They have plenty of wings.
Yeah.
Brown, Tatum, Hayward. They're lacking up front. And I have a hard time believing they're going to go into the year with this as their roster. So I think whether it's Jaylen Brown going or something else, I still think Danny Ainge has something big still to come.
Yeah, I think so too, Adam. They obviously have depth issues at the front court. Look, Robert Williams, I saw an article today in the Herald, somebody wrote it, you know, so they're talking about, you know, Robert Williams stepping up. You know, I think he got was getting like 8 minutes a game maybe last year. He's a guy that you could get 20, 22 minutes this year. Good luck with that. I think he's just too green to expect that he can come in here and have an immediate impact even in his second year. So they need a more physical presence on the interior. Their interior defense right now has got huge question marks. I love Enes Kanter's offensive game. I mean, it's just he's got a nice mid-range jump shot. He's good at the free throw line. He's got some good low post moves, but he's not a banger. And defensively, he's a liability. So they need without Al Horford and without Aaron Baines here, and Robert Williams, who is clearly, I don't think, ready to just all of a sudden double, triple his minutes. They're definitely got something up their sleeve via trade or I mean, the options, I think, right now is free agency are pretty much all done.
I mean, for them, they basically are, because they can't do anything.
They
don't really have any money outside of, you know, potentially Daniel Tice in terms of signing free agents, you know, a million, 2 million. Like, they have very limited cash to do that. But they're not limited from making a trade. They're not limited from making, well, a sign-in trade with the rights to Marcus Morris. So they may have something else up their sleeve. And I would caution against this, because you're going to hear a lot of this after Danny Ainge didn't close on Anthony Davis and a year ago didn't close on Kawhi Leonard. You're going to hear a lot of this. Well, they're saving up for that next big fish. Carl Anthony Towns, maybe the biggest of all the fish if Giannis gets sick of what's going on in Milwaukee and wants out. Giannis. So I'm not trying to sell people on false hope of, like, reeling in that next white whale. I'm not trying to do that. But just look at the roster. Does it feel finished? And look at the imbalance, as I said. On draft night, I was at the Auerbach Center. They still let me there. I don't know why they let me in to do the draft show there. I don't question it. I feel like it must. I've made this analogy many times. I feel like it must be a glitch, like Milton with his swing line stapler down in the basement in Office Space. I feel like it must be a glitch why we keep getting invited over to this, since we were leading the charge booing the Terry Rozier pick, the Jaylen Brown pick, et cetera, et cetera. But I was there, and the second they drafted Romeo Langford, I'm like,
curious.
What does this mean for Jaylen Brown long term? And yes. I don't know if you saw the deal that Jamal Murray just signed in Denver. Part of the reason that I didn't like the Jaylen Brown pick at the time is I preferred Jamal Murray. Mm. He just got 5 years, $170 million.
They're the same class?
They were the same draft. I was up there on draft night wanting Jamal Murray at pick three, right? And, you know, I think I've been proven right on that, but Brown's a lot better than I thought, so neither here nor there. The point is, you're getting close to making a call on Jaylen Brown. Whether it's a big, fat extension, like Jamal Murray just got in Denver, or next year when he's an RFA, all of a sudden you saw some of the Malcolm Brogdon as a good example. You can match all you want. You can attempt to keep guys, but if you feel like someone's overextended or is willing to go a little further than you are for your own player, you've now lost control of the situation. So I think there's a bit of a roster logjam, but they can sort that out. I don't know how much Langford's going to play. I do think contractually you're getting close to a time where you got to make a call on Jaylen Brown. Are you going to give him that big extension? Are you going to build around him? Or do you kind of look at him as a piece that may not fit long term? And I think now would be a good time to move him for some front court help. I don't know if that's Capella. I don't know if that's one of the big guys in Indiana. But that's the player that I look at and say, I wonder if he's a piece that could still go for something meaningful.
I would not have any problem. If you were gonna trade Jaylen Brown for Clint Capella, I'm maybe a little biased to Clint Capella because I followed him when I was in Houston.
So you trade Jaylen for Capella?
Well, I would seriously consider it, considering the depth issues we have in the front court right now. And Jaylen Brown, I mean, the reports go a month or half ago or so when they were talking about Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Coming here to the Celtics.
Yep. Brown was mentioned with Bradley Beal as well.
Okay.
Yep.
But who was the player in those reports that they said they were not willing to put in a trade deal for Anthony Davis?
Tatum.
So that means they would be willing to put Jaylen Brown in.
Sure.
I mean, if those reports are correct. And so they have, I mean, if you had to pick, a lot of us, I think we had to figure out, if you can only have one or the other, who do they prefer over the other? By that report, it suggests that they like Jason Tatum over Jaylen Brown. So, look, you draft Romeo Langford, and then you go, okay, well, now we got this, this plethora of wings. Maybe he becomes expendable, and you get something back from him. Considering some of the problems that you've heard about Jaylen Brown, nobody getting along with him, maybe some attitude issues, maybe there's some discontent with Jaylen Brown, that maybe he's a source for some of these underlying problems that are going on off the court. You know what? It might not be a bad idea, Adam, if they would consider doing something like that, because they have a massive, massive hole on their front court. And I'll tell you this. He's no, that being Clint Capella, he's no Al Horford. But believe it or not, he's not a bad perimeter defender when on pick and rolls, when they screen.
Look,
he does a decent job, like Al does, on guys like Giannis out on the perimeter.
See, what you just said is exactly why I think they value Capella. Is because I think they know they're matched up against Giannis for years to come. And I don't know that the Bucks look at it. I don't think the Bucks are looking at the Celtics like we're matched up against Boston for years to come. I think they probably felt that way last year. Not now, after the roster changes in Boston. But from the Celtics' point of view, to get out of the East, you're going to have to be dealing with Giannis, and you're going to have to be dealing with him for a long time. I think that is why they value Capella. I think he's at least another body they can throw at him, and a guy who has a chance with his length and movement ability to match up with Giannis. Not shut him down. No one's shutting him down.
Right.
But I think that's why they value him. I'd move Marcus Smart in a heartbeat for Clint Capella. Like, that's, you know, I'm well established on Marcus Smart and my feelings for him, so I don't need to go into that.
Do you think that's more of equal value?
Is well, it, cause when I mean, I say monetarily, like, it is straight up. And I think Brown, right. I personally think Brown for Capella would be, that's too much. That okay. You're giving up too much. Even if Brown is a bad egg, or, you know, a guy that isn't good for the room, even if you do have to make a contractual call on him and you're not going to give him that Jamal Murray money.
Throw in PJ Tucker, maybe.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're getting more back, maybe, but yeah. Now you got to throw in a lot of salary to match too, right?
So
Smart to me, straight up for Capella, works. Jaylen Brown for another young big, Sabonis in Indiana is a name that's been mentioned. Miles Turner in Indiana is a name that's been mentioned, though Indiana just went all in with Brogdon.
Right.
So I don't know how realistic that is. Whoever, that to me makes more sense than someone like Capella. But long story short, I don't think Danny Ainge is done. And that doesn't mean he's making a move tomorrow.
Totally agree.
That doesn't mean he's making a move, you know, by the end of the week. But just looking at the roster and knowing that not everything fits together, I have a hard time believing they're done. Because if they are done, Ted, it's an okay roster. Again, you might host a round in the playoffs. You might win a round, but you're no more than that.
I don't think you're hosting. I think you're in. I'm not sure you're hosting. I think you're vacillating in that no man's land, which is where teams hate to be, which is that 4, 5, 6 seed. So you're not getting lottery picks, and you're not, you know, you're not really truly contending for championships. So that's a varied. That's why. I was so – it was kind of a gut punch that Al Horford left, because I felt like if Al Horford was to have stayed here, if they were able to do all the signing trades, the maneuvering they would have had it done to get that deal. And I was working Sunday afternoon, Adam, and there was all this speculation that, oh, my gosh, maybe, you know, Al Horford is going to come back here. Read an article today that wasn't even – that was all smokescreen. But it got me excited thinking about it, because then it puts you at, to me
– Oh, Kemba Brown, Hayward, yeah. Tatum, Horford, that's a good five.
You're contending in the East. And, you know, look, I still think they'd be undermatched with teams in the West. But so that was truly a gut punch. Well, right now, this team, right now, to me, their ceiling, it currently constructed, is like at the most a 4 seed. That's their ceiling, in my opinion. As the roster is currently constructed.
Okay. At most, a 4 seed, says Ted Johnson. What do you guys think? 617-779-0985. As currently constituted, how do the Celtics stack up in the East? And I say as currently constituted because I don't think they're done. What do they need? What should they pursue? And do you still have faith that Trader Danny has a little more up his sleeve? Again, 617-779-0985. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, in for Beadle and Zoe. We'll get to your phone call.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zoe and Beadle. No Zoe, no Beadle today. Unfortunately, you are stuck with me. And 3-time Super Bowl champion.
Oh, thank you, Adam.
Ted Johnson. Like, that's not so bad.
I mean, look, it's just because, you know, I played the Patriots doesn't mean I know what the hell I'm talking about in the other sports. But
obviously that's true. I mean, that goes without saying. But just no. But people like to hear from you, though.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun. I've had a lot of fun. You know, starting to work back here a few months ago. And you know what I get a lot, Adam?
What?
Stories.
And, people want your stories?
Stories. So, but I'm going to run out of stories eventually. So, I've told a lot of stories.
I like that. I like that Rice story where you went and pulled the trigger there in the bathroom. I hadn't heard that. That's a good new one.
That's a new story. There you go. Okay. There you go. So there's always, I'm evolving.
You got a couple weeks out of that.
You're right.
It's like a new story cycle. Every time you run into somebody, they want a story. Hey, I went and threw up in the bathroom the other day while I was on the radio.
There you go.
That'll get some yucks.
Good point, man.
People
will
like that. What were you just saying off the air about free agency in the NBA?
This is so fun. We were talking about the time leading up to kind of in sports talk radio that there's a period of time that is, you know, a lot of times the storylines are light. There's not as much going on. And it's usually that 6 weeks leading up to training camp in the NFL. But with the NBA hot stove, season going on right now, it has changed, I think, that entirely. And we were talking about what was the time in which the NBA free agency period became must-watch, must-talk type of stuff? And the thing that we've come up with, just talking to the guys I've been working with here recently, was when LeBron James did the decision. When he left Cleveland to go to Miami, I feel like that was kind of a tipping point as far as ratcheting up NBA hot stove top type topics. Guys start moving around, and let's face it, in the NBA, one guy moves from one conference to the other or from one team to the other, there's a shift.
The domino effect is ridiculous.
And the drama has been phenomenal. The NBA players, oh my gosh, these guys are just, they're such babies, and there's, I mean, in all the speculation and all the rumor mongering going on, I love it. I absolutely love it. So it's just been more fun this time leading up to training camp, more now than ever, because of NBA hot stove, free agency, offseason type topics and storylines.
I got to tell you, from a radio standpoint, I don't know that I love the move to Sunday night. I don't know that I love the free agency starting at 6 p.m. from a talk radio standpoint. Like, started on Monday morning, and then, like, you guys could react fresh, right, Jim?
Yeah, I think, but next year, because it's a leap year, so next year, July 1st will be on a Tuesday. June 30th will be on a Tuesday.
It's a leap year next year.
So June 30th at 6 o'clock, 4th of July is not until like the weekend. It's going to be, it'll be, next year will be, well, there won't be as many free agents, but next year will be just as good, if not better. Tuesday, 6 o'clock, it starts.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, so that is, Tuesday, a weeknight at 6 o'clock, I will vouch for. Yeah. That's good. That works for me. Night at 6 o'clock, not so hot.
Do you know why, too, Adam? Because, really, free agency didn't start Sunday at 6 o'clock. Free agency started...
It started like a year ago. Like, Kyrie and Durant knew, know where they've been going all year. Al Horford, I want to get to Al Horford coming up in like 10 minutes. Al Horford skating on this. Like, Al Horford, if you hear any of his end-of-season stuff, he sounded checked out and disinterested and disengaged. So, like, all these guys know where they're going for the most part.
You're right.
It's not... Kawhi right now knows where he's going.
Yeah.
We don't know. Right. We have no... But Kawhi knows where he's going. So when did it actually start? A long, long time ago. But I mean, like, when the actual news starts trickling out. I didn't love Sunday night, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, I get it. But when Woj starts, dropping, bombs, and he starts kind of really confirming what's going on with these... It started at, like, really at 2 o'clock on Sunday. 2 or 3 o'clock. I mean, we were using a lot of these kind of Woj tweets and his statements about where guys were going as actual news.
Gospel, yeah.
Yeah. So it started before 6 o'clock on Sunday. So you move that to like midweek, and then you have, I think you just have a bit, you're right, a bigger audience because people, I mean, it was hot and heavy in here Sunday. I mean, it was all
Sarge is nodding.
We had a show. It was Matt McCarthy and Brian Robb. They did an awesome show
for
6 to 10.
Yep.
And I know that's a good benefit for you, Jones, to have it at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night next year, so don't take a vacation that week.
Yeah, weeknight, right? That's good. I got a plan for that leap year, though. Yeah. How does Louth already know it's a leap year?
Every 4 years.
You're already planning for a leap year?
2020.
Yeah, I know, but like...
Just remember, everybody...
Who the hell's thinking about 2020 right now?
Jim's like, duh, 2020.
No, I thought of this exact thing about the Sunday night, and I'm like, why did they do it Sunday night? Oh yeah, it's a calendar thing, July 1st.
Leap year.
It's a calendar thing, like it's always July 1st, so you have to do June 30th at 6 o'clock. If you're going to move it up.
Leap year is always a presidential election year, every 4 years.
Olympic year, too, right?
We should get one extra vacation day on leap years. We should get one extra vacation day on leap years, yeah?
I co-sign.
I feel like that's a good...
I sign off on that, too.
I feel like that's a good idea. I'll have to get that worked into my next deal.
3-day weekend.
617-779-0985. All right, are the Celtics done? Is Danny Ainge done? Just looking at the roster, I don't think they can be. What should they do? What do they need? Let's get to the phones here. Dave is in Haverhill. What's up, Dave?
What's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call. Teddy, Appreciate the three Super Bowl rings, man. I honestly, I'm a big college football fan. I'm calling about Kyrie, but Oregon State, man, you rocked it. Okay, this was it. Awesome.
Wait, what's he talking? What's he talking about? Oregon State? Did you ever play Oregon State?
I was just saying, I just followed Teddy back from Oregon State days. But no, the thing with Kyrie is the poison in the locker room. I truly believe that, I mean, the Kemba Walker, I mean, he played for a horrible team, but he played 82 games last year for the Charlotte Hornets. Horrible team. And you know what? We're missing Horford. I don't know much about Enos Kanter, but I truly believe Kyrie was a true poison in that locker room, and I believe the Celtics will be better than a 4 seed. I want to hang up and listen to you guys. We'll see.
Mr. Oregon State over there, Ted Johnson, disagrees.
Just for the record, thanks for the fandom, but I played at Colorado University.
I thought he was saying you had a good. I thought he was saying you had a good game against Oregon State.
I never played Oregon State.
You weren't in the Pac-12 then.
Nope, we were in a conference called the Big Eight. Do you remember the Big Eight?
I was going to say the Big 12. Yeah, so you were post Southwest Conference, or was Colorado not in the Southwest Conference?
It was the Big Eight in the Southwest Conference merged to become the Big 12.
Got it. There you go.
For the most part. So yeah, my man, thank you for the kind words. But yeah, I played at the University of Colorado, Oregon State. Never played those guys.
I am interested in Ted, on TV. If you're listening on the radio, it says he went to Colorado.
Thank you.
That's an educational program, too.
Yes, very much so.
You know, we don't all know everything.
Yeah, right.
What the hell did he say about?
He was talking about Kyrie Irving leaving and that this team is just going to be better with Kemba Walker, with Kyrie's attitude.
So, can I tell you one thing that's annoying me about Kemba Walker?
What do you got?
Okay.
You
read his player?
Winner,
yes.
Chicken dinner?
Yes. Did you read his Players Tribune thing yesterday?
Okay. All right. So Jones, here's the thing. You're gonna have issues with me because I was.
Oh, no. One of these Kemba's a winner person, are you?
I was reading
it. Because he won at UConn?
Okay. No, but I was getting excited listening to how he talked. I mean, did he go overboard? I don't have the statement in front of me.
Do you want the leadership part or the winner part?
I was reading the leadership part and the winning part to the people out there, just so it was like cleansing of the palate. You know, just listen to your new free agent signing, Kemba Walker, talk about his excitement here.
He did big things in
Charlotte.
Did they go back to back in Charlotte? I can't remember. How many titles did Kemba win in Charlotte? I'm trying to remember. I think they went back-to-back 1 year.
To the playoffs back-to-back?
No, definitely not. No, I think he's been to the playoffs twice.
Yes,
I think
in 8 years.
He won playoff games in one playoff. Yeah. The other year he got swept.
Yeah.
So just...
You're not putting a lot on that 2011
Well, just stop telling me he's a win. He might come here and win games, but can we let him come here and win games? Like,
fair
this
enough.
Idea... The one last thing about me, writes Kemba, I'm a winner. Really? I've always been a winner. Not in Charlotte. It's who I am, or at least who I strive to be. I would put more emphasis on that's who you strive to be, Kemba, and less on what you are. Anytime he steps on the court, he says, and when I think about my future with this team and how I'm going to be playing with the Celtics, I mean, that's why I feel like it's a match made in heaven. I want to win here badly, blah, 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 blah. You're not a winner yet. You won at UConn. Doesn't count. Right? Somebody who wins 3 national championships in college football. How's that compare to your Super Bowl ring?
It's a pimple on the ass compared to the Super Bowl ring.
Tim Tebow won 2 titles in college. What's that mean?
Yeah.
So is he a winner? Not yet he's not. I don't deny that he can be a winner in Boston. Stop acting like he's won anything. He hasn't won squat. Kyrie, as bad as he was last year, and I'm not throwing a parade for Kyrie, as bad as Kyrie was last year in the playoffs, he accomplished more last year underachieving than Kemba ever did in Charlotte. Ever.
Why does it just sound? It sounds better to the ear, Jones, when I hear Kemba Walker. He's proclaiming he's a winner, and you make good arguments.
Yeah, he did win. He won like 33 games a year in Charlotte. He won technically.
I'd rather him say that than him say I'm a basketball genius. You know, it's a difference in attitude.
Fair point.
I get it.
I'll give you that.
He's buying in, or at least he's selling to us that he's buying into the whole Celtic, you know, kind of iconic success that they've had here, and he wants to be a part of that. I eat that up, and I think just the fans will eat that up too, to some degree. Did he go overboard about saying he's a winner? Maybe, yeah. But you know what? Compared to what we used to have here with Kyrie, I'll take it.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair point. It's better than saying you're a basketball genius.
Yes.
I mean, they're both lies, but it's better than saying you're a basketball genius. 617-779-0985. I want to get to Al Horford right after the headlines here from Sarge.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something I haven't even stopped to think about, but yes, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've enjoyed being here in Boston and, you know, just have to wait and see what we're going to do as a team and the steps that the management's going to do taking forward and continue to, you know, to get better.
Five-time All-Star Al Horford has agreed to a four-year, $109 million deal with the 76ers.
Whoa! And there. Woo! Can Ooh, I get a little where in the world is Al Horford? Because now we know.
Woo! He did it. He signed. Woo! Yes, I got bingo.
Sixers.
Whoa. And
oh, that's funny, man. What are those big shoots up, you know, smoke?
Yeah,
know?
I guess.
The announcement of Al Horford going to the 76ers. It was, though, when that news
it was like, that was like a gender reveal party. That's what that sounded like.
It's a boy! Woo!
Oh, my God. By the way, when did those become a thing? But we digress.
Yep.
The Al Horford news, when it came down, Adam, I got to admit.
They should have had you for a gender reveal party. Have, like, a tackling dummy.
I tackle a boy or the girl, and that's the one.
No. You tackle the tackling dummy, and then you hit, and then it's blue smoke or pink smoke.
Oh, gotcha. I gotcha.
Gender reveal.
Whoa.
Hey.
For then everybody on the side is like, woo.
If anybody has likes that idea for a small fee, I'd be happy to come to your gender reveal party and do that.
Sergeant, you know, announce the whole thing. Yeah, exactly.
There
now,
you
now,
go.
Now we got this going
on. All right, let's put your hands together for Ted Johnson.
Yeah. How would you reveal the gender?
How would I reveal it?
Yeah. Ready? He's about to hit the tackling dummy.
Oh, you mean introduce him? Introduce Ted?
No, like you gotta tell everyone what it is. Is it a boy or a girl?
Oh, yeah. Well, after further review, it is a boy!
Hey. There you go, Sarge. Oh.
I like how it's not like going to instant replay, Sarge.
Well, you know, it's
Sarge has
all
like
right,
his
fine.
We have like the video monitor over there, and Sarge has his head under the monitor.
Judge,
he's like,
you want to make sure you're accurate on the sex of the baby. You don't want to have
a challenge. We had a challenge for the gender reveal. It is though. The call has been upheld. It's a boy.
Parents are like, wait a minute, doctor. Are you sure, doc?
That's funny.
So what were you saying though about Al Horford?
No, just so when it came down though, I was a little bit I don't know, I'm not gonna lie, gut punch. Look, I think
you weren't as excited as those gals.
You know what? No, I wasn't. Not as excited as Rachel Nichols was in that clip that we played. But I was just bummed because I think without Horford on this team, and we were just talking about it in the break. You know, they showed the odds to win the NBA title with Al Horford on this team and Kemba Walker at something around 10-1. You said you thought maybe 12-1. Currently, the odds for the Celtics to win the NBA title are currently at 25-1.
Ooh.
Puts them
not a lot of love for Taco Fall there.
8 or 9. Yeah, right. Yeah. And so look. Would you have had to overpay for him? Yes. Would he be worth the money at the end of the contract? Probably not. But I'm thinking about the here and now. I'm all about the here and now, Adam. And I think if you have Al Horford on this team, you're just a better team right now, and in at least this year and the following year. Look, he showed some of his age. I mean, you got to rest him. Obviously, at 33 years old, you have to kind of manage his minutes. But I just think he gives this team some legitimacy to actually be title. I mean, you know, Eastern Conference, you know, contenders, not necessarily title contenders.
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not Horford's biggest fan, but if Horford's back, you might be a true championship contender just because Golden State is down.
That's true.
Where's Kawhi? Like, I mean, if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, then forget about it. But you, I mean, you might be in the mix.
The Rockets haven't proved anything.
Right.
You know? You're right.
So I'm not sold on Philly. And I guess Horford would still be here in that scenario. So look, here's my thing on Al Horford. How did he become a free agent in the first place?
He opted out.
He opted out.
Yeah, he opted out, right.
So I feel like Al Horford skated a little bit in this whole thing. And he doesn't deserve the same blame as Kyrie. He doesn't deserve the same blame even as like Danny and Brad and the young guys. So, you know, I'm just working my way down the list now. We've talked about the young guys. We've talked about Kyrie. We've talked about Brad and Danny Ainge. And I think Kyrie specifically has gotten the proper amount of criticism. I don't feel bad for him or anything. Kyrie deserves to be criticized. He's gotten the proper amount of criticism. 100% of Boston is criticizing him. That's the right amount. He deserves that scorn. No one's criticizing Horford. Very few are criticizing Horford. And I just get the sense that first clip we played before Rachel Nichols went nuts and threw a little party, he sounded checked out. He sounded like he knew he was gone. And I just think Horford, for whatever reason, maybe the reasons are legitimate. He can't play for the coach. He can't stand the young guys. It was just too toxic here last year and he wants a fresh start. But he wanted out. Like, make no mistake, they wanted him back. I think they wanted him back. He wanted out. That's why he opted out. The way to make the most money was opt in for $30 million and be a free agent next year. That was the way to make the most money. So he wanted to go. And I think he deserves a little more ridicule for that. I'm not saying he's Ray Allen, but it's kind of a Ray Allen-ish move. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You got me. I was listening to you last night. I listen to you all the time. I was listening to you last night, Adam, and I was like, you were kind of making this argument. I was like, I put it in the email this morning. I was like, man, you got me kind of thinking. I'm like, you know, now that you think about it, Al Horford, he came here in 2016, and I just remember some of the things he said. I'm going to come here with the hopes that it brings other free agents here as well. There was this level of commitment to this franchise, and I think to Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge that, and I mean, let's face it, it was the biggest free agent signing they had in decades, which is shocking.
Ever.
Ever.
At the time, ever.
Ever. So there was this, you kind of thought, okay, look, man, this guy's in it to win it for the long haul. And you got me thinking about it. Man, you know what? I am a little bit, he probably should get a little bit more of the onus as far as the blame pie of what happened last year. I know there's all different leadership styles, Adam, and you can't make somebody into something they're not. But when you're the grizzled vet and you're, you know, probably, you know, the most accomplished player besides Kyrie, who guys look up to, that you didn't maybe take more ownership in, you know, creating a more harmonious locker room, then he's probably is a little bit more prone to criticism. And maybe it's because he's going to the 76ers that we're looking at it this way. So be it.
That's why I think it's a little Ray Allen-ish. Like, not that you have the same history with Philly, but who he picked is important here.
Would we be saying, criticizing his leadership if he went to Sacramento, if he went to Dallas?
No, just if Al Horford went to, the Clippers or something like that.
Yep.
The Sixers are a rival. Like, I think the NBA tried to make something out of the rivalry last year, but where Al Horford decided to go does twist the knife a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like Ray Allen twisted the knife a little bit. And again, the history with Miami is much, much different than the current history with Philadelphia. I know back in the 80s, there were some... One time, Larry Bird and Dr. J had each other's throats. They really hated each other, okay? So I know back in the 80s, there was some real bad blood. I think it's a little more forced now. There was legitimate bad blood with Miami and LeBron James and what was going on there. So this is different, but it's a little Ray Allen-ish of Al Horford, who, by the way, it's the second time he's ditched out on a team. He ditched out on Atlanta to come here in the first place. We all looked the other way on that, but he ditched out on Atlanta. He never missed the playoffs in Atlanta. Wasn't like he wasn't competitive in Atlanta. They won 60 games and got to an Eastern Conference final. He ditched out on Atlanta. He has his sister fight all his battles for him, which is already weasel. Like, that's a sign of a weasel right there. Weaselly. And on top of that, bad leader last year, and I don't know if Kyrie can't be led, but if you're the adult in the room, you should be able to get the kids to get in line. He couldn't do that. And on top of it, he always kind of bellyached about privately, quietly, but you know there was grousing because we even heard about it at the time, about playing the center position. And that's apparently a big reason why he chose Philadelphia. Yeah. He doesn't want to play for the five, which, I'm sorry, Al, you're paid a lot of money. We're going to tell you where to play. So, I don't know, all those things. I just feel like he deserves more criticism than he's gotten, which is basically zero.
Yeah, no, that's true. And you look at him going over to the 76ers. I'm sitting here, and Felger Maz brought up yesterday, I thought it was a really good point. What does that say about what he thought about this roster? Because I'm sitting here
going... Yeah, it's not great. I'll acknowledge that.
Right? It was like, he's going... It's like, okay, so he's going to the 70s. So everybody's kind of thought, well, it's more about championships for him. You think he thought that he has a better chance to win a championship with the 76ers than staying here with this, what we all think maybe is the next, you know, two rising stars in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, with a Kemba Walker who I think is going to be just overall not a better player than Kyrie Irving?
Well, he's a winner.
Okay. Yes, he is a winner, yep. According to him. But I just think it's going to be a more harmonious, and just a better chemistry. I'm a big chemistry guy, Jones. I'm not sure where you stand on that. So I think this just the product. I just think it would have been a better outcome if he was to have stayed here with Kemba Walker here. And so for him to go to 76ers, which we all know that the coach is kind of a clown.
Yep.
Joel Embiid could be an irritant.
Yeah, I mean,
Ben Simmons can't shoot a jump shot.
I said this to Matt McCarthy last night.
And no J.J. Redick, by the way.
Yeah, like if you think the young kids were a problem here, I don't think Simmons and Embiid are exactly a walk in the park. They're more established, better players, but I don't know personality-wise those guys are a walk in the park either. 617-779-0985. There's a lot of you waiting patiently. We've got to all your Celtics phone calls, Al Horford and everything else next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 11 o'clock, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson in for Zoe and Beetle.
Do you remember the last time you and I worked together?
I think it was the day after the Super Bowl.
Bingo. That was fun.
I tried to black that day. It was a tough day for me. I had to come in and talk about all happy, feely, gushy things. Yeah.
Rainbows and lollipops.
Yeah,
yay.
Yeah. I tried to push that deep down and not think about it. But yes, we were on the day after.
That
the
was
Super
a lot
Bowl.
Of fun. I enjoyed that.
I'm sure that's what Patriots fans wanted to hear that day. Was me the day after the Super Bowl. Ted Johnson again, people like to hear from. We're taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. Coming up top of the hour, maybe a potential free agent target out there. Free agent target. The Celtics can't do much. That's kind of a big name. We'll do that about 5 minutes from now. Meantime, a lot of you waiting patiently here on the phones. Let's get to you, beginning with Seth in Manchester. Go ahead, Seth.
Hi. Yeah, I think that the real reason Al wanted to leave was, no mystery that he doesn't like playing the five position. You know, he likes sort of like that, kind of stretch five, maybe in the four slot. And going to Philly, I mean, reading reports yesterday, it was, now we're going to have somebody to be able to give Joel Embiid rest during the year. So, I mean, if you think about it, that's not really exactly what Al Horford was thinking. I don't know if it's true or not.
I mean, how many games is that? 15? I mean, with Embiid, it could be a ton. But in an ideal scenario, it's what, 15, 20? Like, what did Kawhi miss last year? 20 games? Mm-hmm. Kyrie missed 15. Yeah. So if you're managing Embiid, he would play. And I think Horford will be managed, too, by the way. Maybe 15 starts at center, which is better than half the year or whatever he started at center last year.
True. Yeah, I do agree with that. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, it is Brett Brown, and, he's not the greatest mind in basketball. But I think the Enes Kanter thing is actually a little bit overlooked, too. If you look at his numbers, he has about 6 rebounds more per game than Al Horford. And his, offensive numbers are, sort of on par. I mean, I know that Al Horford's a better defender. I just think that what the Celtics really needed last year was to get more second chance shots. And I mean, I think Enes is just, he's a better rebounder.
So he has been in other systems, and the numbers in Portland to me are intriguing because Terry Stotts has a pretty wide open system, like Brad Stevens has a pretty wide open system. So, to me, the numbers that Kanter put up in Portland are a little more interesting than like what he put up with the Knicks, that said, are they going to ask Enes Kanter to crash the glass? They don't ask guys to do that here. That's not what they've done. So maybe there's a change coming. Maybe there's a bigger signing or trade that'll bump Kanter to the bench, and now he's more break glass in case of emergency. In that second unit, they'll have him crash the offensive glass a little bit more.
I would prefer that.
So, yeah, me too. I don't want him starting next year.
Right.
If he's coming off your bench, fine. I can tolerate it. Starting, that's not a good starting five. Meaning good starting center, yep. good starting five man. So I don't know. I know what Enes Kanter's numbers were in other systems. I don't know how much they're going to ask him to rebound here, meaning go get offensive rebounds and crash the glass. They don't generally let guys do that.
Yeah, well, I think that's been a big issue. I think they need to have a better rebounder and hit the boards more than they do. Enes Kanter is got a really nice shot. I mean, the guy, he doesn't take a lot of threes.
He's a 78% free throw shooter, which
yeah.
is a lot better than I expected. I just
right?
spilled my coffee. Yeah.
Your foot. He's got a really nice shot. He's got good touch. He's just where his biggest problem is, I think, is his defense. He's just not a good defender, but he's a good rebounder of the ball. And I think that's a big something that this team certainly needs. So, but you're right. I don't feel comfortable with Enes Kanter being the starter. Like I would rather him come off the bench, but and you said it. I don't want to steal your take, Adam, but you said it before the show. Okay, his three shot attempts
steal away
are not. He doesn't have. He's not known for shooting a lot of threes. But Al Horford wasn't either. Right, early in his career is what you said. And now look at him. I mean, the guy he's turned into a dangerous 3-point threat. Perhaps maybe Enes Kanter, who's got a really nice touch on the ball. Why not just extend his perimeter shooting and maybe start using him more as a 3-point shooter than he has been in the past?
So yeah, and I'm trying to pull up the tweet we got from a listener last night who tweets the show quite a bit. This guy Matt, and he had all the numbers through age 26 of how many threes that Al Horford had taken and how many threes that Enes Kanter had taken, and basically his point was, you know, Horford through age 26 was not a 3-point threat. Mm-hmm. It's something that he learned over the course of his career. And ultimately, because he was a good free throw shooter, he extended his range, and now he's, for a big guy, a pretty dangerous 3-point shooter. And, you know, maybe because Kanter is a good free throw shooter, the same thing can happen. Ready? 18 threes through age 26. Attempted
this
through
is
age 26.
Al Horford. Yep.
Enes Kanter, 143. And Kanter, 78% free throw shooter, Horford, 75%. So maybe they see something in his game where he can shoot more threes. But based on what he's done, that's not his game. Let's continue with the feedback here. Derek is in Foxborough. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, I think people are underrating how good the Celtics team can be. I mean, the East is wide open. Kawhi's probably going to leave Toronto. And, you know, you said Kemba never won in Charlotte. But remember, Kyrie never even made the playoffs in Cleveland until LeBron showed up. And so,
okay, this is annoying me, too. This annoys me, too. Derek, what did Kyrie do the last couple of years without LeBron?
No, but you couldn't.
Okay, but he led one team to the playoffs, then was hurt, but they were going to make the playoffs. They were the one seed in the East when he got hurt, or two seed, whatever they were. And then last year he won a playoff round. Like, Kyrie underachieved, but stop saying he didn't do anything without LeBron. He literally did it under your nose last year. You watched it. He did more than Kemba's ever done last year.
My point is, you probably couldn't name two other players on that Hornets team he played
with.
Yeah,
I can name one. How about Jeremy Lamb, who got a big fat free agent deal in Indiana? That's also annoying me. Oh, he didn't have anyone in Charlotte. Jeremy Lamb was a day one guy who signed a big deal in Indiana. Al Jefferson, when they made the best year they had, Al Jefferson was his teammate. He was all NBA that year. You know how many all NBA guys Kyrie played with in Boston? Zero. Mm-hmm. No one made all NBA outside of him. So I'm getting a little annoyed at that too. Charlotte didn't have a good supporting cast, but in the Eastern Conference, Ted, in the Eastern Conference, it's not that hard to make the playoffs. He's not in the West where he's Anthony Davis. I think Davis deserves some criticism, but okay, it's the Western Conference. I get it. You got to win 45 games to make the playoffs. In the East, you barely have to be 500. Some years, not even that. A bunch of one all-star teams with not a lot of talent snuck into the playoffs last year. Orlando with Vucevic. Brooklyn with D'Angelo Russell. Detroit, to me, they had two all-star caliber players. I don't know if both, I have to double check this, if both Blake and Drummond made it or not. But that's not a good roster beyond those two teams. They figured out a way into the playoffs. Making the playoffs in the East is not that. That's a really low bar. And Kemba couldn't do that. So that's all. Like, he's probably going to make the playoffs here. I said, they might be a top 3-4 seed in the East next year and win a round. I believe all that. Just don't call him a winner before he's won anything.
Yeah.
That's
no,
what's bothering
him. No, it's true. You can't dispute that. You're absolutely right. But I just, look, I just think he's still a nice player, even though he didn't win anything of any real significance, unless you want to count the 2011 National Championship game, but please.
Let's
not talk about that.
I don't.
Adam, I can't disagree with you. He has not done anything, at least from a team standpoint, of any real significance in the 8 years he's been here. You hope that he comes here and he has, you know, look, maybe better coaching, better players around him, and then thus you will see You know, he might be able to win something. But I look, it's but your points are well taken. Yeah.
Who do you play with? I don't know. Jeremy Lamb just got a big fat deal in Indiana. I don't know. That seemed like a pretty good player he played with last year. I don't know. Al Jefferson was all NBA in 2014. That seemed like a pretty good team.
But he's not the same player. But no, I mean, he's a decent player.
I'm not saying their roster is great.
Yeah.
With an all-star, you should be a playoff team in the East.
In the East, you absolutely should. You're right. Two times in 8 years. That resume speaks for itself. You're right.
617-779-0098. What'd you say?
That resume speaks for itself.
No, right after.
He's been to two playoffs.
No, after that.
I have no idea.
I think he said you're right, Jones. You're right.
You're right, Jones. Unbelievable.
617-779.
You're so right, Jones.
0985.
Feel better, buddy?
Yeah, I know. Sarge has all the latest in headlines, and then what name are the Celtics potentially sniffing around on? We'll get to that right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.